Have you ever been overly concerned of what people thought of you? So did our guest, who has been a global leader in relationships for more than two decades. Being nice is what she thought she had to do. Are you a people pleaser too? Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you, give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today, coming up in the podcast, our guest, Master Intimacy Relationship Coach Alana Pratt, gets vulnerable on how, with a damsel in distress belief, she ended up with an angry and narcissistic man, only to have him and her family turn against her, plunging into debt and losing her only son. Alana took a deep look inside to discover how to open her heart and eyes. Wait till you hear her path and how she was forced to shift. We're going to talk with Alana in a moment. And first, I'm going to talk to you today about the people-pleasing syndrome, or the cost of being too nice, and steps you can take now to shift to valuable. I'm going to be pulling from several of the pillars to cover this critical topic. If you want to know all the pillars, go back to episode 1 or 2, where I go over all of these pillars. So how do you get into this people-pleasing trap? All right, let me tell you, I was in it deep. But it basically goes like this. Someone makes a request of you. Say they ask you to volunteer on a committee. You don't want to. It doesn't matter the reason. Instead of telling the truth of how you feel, you make up some reason. Why not? Or you'll say yes when you really don't want to. You automatically please someone else so that you can think that you're being nice. Feels good to be thought of as being nice, right? Or you want to avoid feeling guilty for denying the request, so you just cave in. And you probably did this as a little girl. You just wanted to fit in, be accepted. But deep down, you probably felt resentful, frustrated, and even angry, right? You know, maybe you got accepted and liked and thought you were nice for the short term, but maybe it wasn't always for the long term. But maybe you got enough of them, and that's why you just kept doing it. And that thinking, though, and behaving led to more serious consequences when you were with your abuser. He made sure you didn't think too highly of yourself by reminding you that you don't know how to do anything right, that you're not good enough. I had it, you know, after 25 years, I had plenty of it. I'm not a good mother. I'm not a team player. I'm not a good wife. I'm not. Yet, if you're like me, you bent over backwards to please him so he'd be nice to you. And how many failed attempts did you have? Well, I can't count the number. Pleasing others had become more important to you than what you truly wanted. And you may not have actually thought this consciously. It sure wasn't conscious for me. But that's the tricky thing about this disease. Yet, every time you give in, each time you please and acquiesce to someone else's request, you give up a part of you. You give up a part of who you are. Think about that. Each time you people please, you cover up the real authentic you. Then what often happens, you end up feeling resentful, angry at them, and even angry and annoyed at yourself. It's always a lose-lose proposition when you are a people pleaser. So, how do you shift to valuable? Let's start with, what does not being authentic look like? I'm going to share 6 ways, but there are more. So 1, focused on pleasing others, of course, at a cost to you. 2, you're outward focused. So other people's needs are more important than your own. And don't get this right so that you're outward focused and so the opposite would be you're inward focused and you're going to be all egotistical. Okay, let's not go to the other extreme here. When you're outward focused is that you're just focusing on the need that other people's needs are more important than your own. So you're always diminishing yourself. 3, deep down, you have little value for yourself and you don't even know what your values are. Now, that may kind of hurt to hear that, but it's probably the truth. So this is what's happening to you. You don't value what's important to you enough to stand up for it. I mean, I was in this. All of these, you know, how can I teach them? Not just from studying, but these are my personal experiences as well. 4, you let others define you, which means what they say about you, you believe to be true. So if you are told that you're not good enough, you're eventually going to believe them. And that's what happened to me. You know, after decades of being told you're not good enough, you're not a team player, you're not a good wife, you're not a good mother, I believed it. I believed it. And it didn't take a lot of time for me to start believing that because I'd already been so diminished. What else does an aspect of not being your authentic self be? You know, you hand over your power. Your power. And again, when I talk about power, this is not like you're a dictator. This is the power of showing up fully. That's what that means. But you become another version of yourself, this small person, small-minded, small acting, and just like, okay, whatever you want, whatever you say. No. And what happens is that 6 is that slowly you get buried, you know, at all these requests year after year, time after time after time, and you giving in and you giving in and you giving in. And slowly you get buried until the real you has disappeared. And then we got to undo all of this, which is what a lot of this work is about. So what happens is that your belief about you gets or got diminished. You believe you are not good enough or that something is wrong with you. Oh my gosh, that feeling of what's wrong with me? Have you ever asked what's wrong with me? You people please to compensate for lack of good feelings for yourself. So then in a toxic relationship, you become afraid to speak up. I was scared to death. You're afraid now. Now you're being trained to not tell your truth because you're in fear. Because you'll get punished. You'll get yelled at. You'll get ridiculed. You'll get the silent treatment. You'll get assaulted in some way. You bent over backwards to please even more. Burn your true self. More. You become a prisoner in your mind. Now, maybe you've left that toxic relationship, yet your mind keeps you in your old thinking and beliefs. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. Get deeper and deeper into your core beliefs, making it harder and more challenging to realize that's even what's happened. So there are 5 simple steps to shift out of people-pleasing into becoming valuable. Okay, I'm really excited about these. And each pillar is designed to peel back a layer that you've covered up with years of people-pleasing. So 1, I'm going to be sharing. So 1 is know your values. Know what's important to you so you know what to stand up for. And that we cover in pillar 3. 2, confidently ask for what you want. That's in pillar 4. Wow. Ask for what you want. That means you're talking, you're sharing. You're sharing what you learned in 1. That's what you're doing. It's like, that can be really scary if you're not used to it. I was just like, what? I can use my voice and I'm not going to get beat up, you know, verbally or physically. That was a big shift. 3, overcome shame and guilt. This is in pillar 6. Again, remember, if you want to look at all these pillars, go to episode 1 or 2. I cover them all there. So overcome shame and guilt is that, you know, guilty for standing up for yourself and the shame for not having stood up for yourself. All of these feelings go hand in hand. They just keep pushing you down unless you release them. 4, listening to your intuition, which is covered in pillar 9. So easy when you are being bombarded and you're being attacked and you're being put down that your intuition just gets crushed. You're so much on the defensive and trying to protect yourself. There's no room for your intuition, but your body knows. You can feel it, and you probably have, and you just ignored it because you didn't have any time to react to what your body was probably screaming at you for, saying, you really don't like that. I mean, when you feel resentful or frustrated, you probably can find where in your body it is. For me, it's usually in my stomach. Sometimes it's in my chest. Sometimes in my throat. Sometimes all 3 of them. And 5, to peel back the layers and to become valuable is to know and maintain your boundaries, which is covered in pillar 11. This is so critical. Because again, these are all ways you're standing up for who you are. Just who you are. What you believe in. What's important to you. This is just me. There's nothing wrong with you. You know, society, religion, or whatever, family, other customs, and friends, teachers, everywhere, you know, have groomed women to please. We've been groomed from day 1. But listen, when you show up as your true, authentic self, you honor yourself and you honor others because you show up fully expressed and people love people who are confident, who know who they are, and you give them the honor of knowing the real you, not someone who's hiding. It becomes a win-win situation. Enjoy, and enjoy the rest of this show. If you want to know where you are on this path, take the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz, my gift to you. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are and where you want to be. Go to www.freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. That's freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. You can find this link and all other links mentioned in the show notes. Today, we're going to meet Elena Pratt, a global media personality who surrendered to the profound loss, gave in to the universe, and discovered how to love, accept, and forgive herself so she could be her true, authentic self, value herself, and find true intimacy. Elena Pratt is an intimacy expert, global media personality, and go-to authority for those who have suffered heartbreak and are ready to live unapologetically and attract an open-hearted, ideal relationship. Her vulnerability and courage landed her a featured weekly column on The Good Men Project, featured as an icon of influence and as a guest expert on Huffington Post, People Magazine, Forbes, CBS and Fox, and The Jenny McCarthy Show. This Ivy League grad is the author of 6 books, has interviewed Whoopi Goldberg and Alanis Morissette, and hosts the edgy podcast, Intimate Conversations, where listeners learn how to find the relationship they deserve. Elena will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to reach and impact 100 million women worldwide who have been affected by narcissistic relationships and domestic abuse. Our goal is to create kinder intimate relationships, kinder families, kinder communities, and a kinder world. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to the delightfully brilliant Elena Pratt, who was stripped down so she could learn true intimacy into UIC. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Elena. Welcome, Elena Pratt. I am thrilled to have you here.
I'm so touched.
I never forget when I first met you. I've come a long way, and wow, listening to your bio, it's like, hey, baby, you've come a long way.
I sure have. Sometimes, you know, you just put one foot in front of the other every day. But then when you slow down and you really let someone read your bio of how far you've come, there's really a moment of like humility and humble pride that, yeah, I'm so glad I never gave up. I'm so glad I was able to turn the very worst into the very best. And I'm so glad that I'm able to make an impact and take it to the next level. And it is so good to see you. We both have our sexy, happy curls. Thank you for having me on your show, Rosie.
It's an honor, really. Share with the listeners a little bit more about that relationship that nearly took you down.
Yeah. So it was my second divorce. And the only one in common, of course, was me. But this particular divorce was when my mom was dying of cancer. And I just wasn't ready or willing or, you know, able at the time to process my grief. I really thought like a man and a baby would save me. So I went into this relationship with my heart closed, intuition cut off, you know, damsel in distress, kind of seeking to be saved. And so, of course, energetically, that would mean I would attract a heart closed person as well, right? And so within a year, my mom died. And I got over the, you know, not being able to sleep through the night. I got over the hormones, but we still could not stop fighting. And I realized I'd married a very angry man who quit his job on the day our son was born to live off my mom's inheritance. And it was just getting from bad to worse. And when I finally said enough's enough, he didn't take it terribly well. And I can have compassion. I can appreciate from his point of view that I said I'd marry him forever. And I broke my word. He was wanting to look good to everybody else. And now he looked humiliated that I had left him. So I can appreciate why he would be angry. But he was really angry. It was a 12-year custody battle with the intention of taking our child away from us completely. And while that was a really awful experience, losing assets, losing, going into debt, being humiliated, my family turning against me, all these horrible things, for some reason, I was still able to like keep going because I could see the lesson. I had always been so overly concerned with what people thought of me. I was still seeking my approval from the outside in. I didn't have safety inside my heart. I needed my circumstances to look a certain way in order to feel safe. So I learned a lot in those 12 years. Not fun, but grateful. But then when I really had trouble getting back up off the floor was when my son was about 13. So this has been 12 years of this court battle. But at least my son loved me, Rosie. Can you see there was still that sliver where I was still looking on the outside in for my worth, right? Still looking good. Where they drove up one day and to the best of my memory, something like, "Dad's right. You're crazy. I'm moving out. Don't try to stop me." And he took everything. He took the bear that he'd had since he was like a week old. He took the guitar that I scraped money together to buy with a girlfriend. Like he took everything and off they drove. And that was like the end. That was like, there were no more tears to cry. I didn't even know how to process this. So I packed up my stuff, went out to the middle of nowhere to a cabin. And I started to do the inner work. Like, what's it going to take for me to love myself no matter what? Even if my son never calls me again, even if everybody opts out of my list and my business folds, what if like I never get out of debt and I end up working at Starbucks? What if my family never calls me again? Like everything. Could I still love and accept myself?
Yeah. And that's, I think that fits in with like the next question. You're just kind of feeding this. Like, when did you feel like vulnerable, the most vulnerable and, you know, how did it make you act and what did you do? I can hear the vulnerability.
Yeah. Well, it was awful. It was an obviously awful time. And so what I did was, I went out to nature. I got a coach because I always have a coach because I'm a coach. I don't think it's an integrity to coach other people if you don't have somebody pointing out your blind spots, right? So I had my coach, I had nature, I had alone time, I had a cabin in the middle of nowhere. And I started to really ask, what's it going to take for me to love myself, love and accept myself, even if none of these external circumstances ever change? Like, what if my son never even calls me again? Mm-hmm. Could I still find a way to forgive myself and love and accept myself and be here on the planet. And that was the toughest inner work that I'd ever done. But what I realized by the end was that my ex-husband and my son were my greatest master spiritual teachers. Because had they not pushed me this far, I would never have come home. I would never have found unconditional love. I would never have found the divine. I wouldn't have found anything. I wouldn't have been able to be made wrong or judged or rejected or humiliated or any of these things and just be an allowance. Okay. You're allowed your opinion. You're allowed your choices. I didn't have to defend anymore. I didn't have to justify anymore. I didn't need to look good anymore. I didn't need to shine people on. I could just be. I could just be.
Boy.
It was extraordinary.
I can just, this is like you gave me goosebumps because I could just relate to everything that you're saying.
I know you can. I know your story. You've been on my podcast, sister. I get it.
it's just so aligned. And that was exactly the thing. It's just like, it took me, I was not as spiritually open or aware as you were. This has been a relatively new process, maybe in the last several years, 5 years or so.
Yeah.
But it was exactly the same thing. And what a revelation it was.
Mm.
So the title of this podcast is Kindness Starts With Our Intimate Relationship With Ourselves. So explain, I love that. Of course, it's just like, touches perfectly how I feel as well. But what does it translate what that means for our listeners?
Yeah, to have an intimate relationship with yourself. So I like to think of intimacy as that ability to be real and raw and honest and transparent and vulnerable and no masks and heart splayed wide open. Now, we normally think of intimacy as with another. And of course, we could apply all of that to a great relationship with another. But here's the deal. If you don't have it with yourself, there's no hope in hell. You will ever have it with another. Because as soon as they look at you like that strange way, you're like, oh, never mind. I'll just be perfect. I'll lie. I'll give away my power. What do you want me to say yes to? I'll say, you know, like we lose ourself and our integrity and our soul and our power and our energy, all of it. So this intimate relationship with yourself is, can you sit? And here's the deal that I sat in that cabin. Can I sit with the wounded, humiliated Alana and never, if she never changes, like for eternity, can I still love and accept her? See, it's one thing to go in and do this inner you, inner little you work. And you're like, hey, so I'll be nice to you now. So you'll change and look good so we can get the guy. Or like, so you'll be more successful so we can go make some money. Like there's always an agenda. Yeah. There's always an agenda. And that we will never fully come home unless we literally embody unconditional love, which means love without condition, which means you can stay that way forever. And I will fully love you. Something inside shifts when that part of you is no longer rejected. The strategies are gone. It's the most rich, graceful, humble moment where these parts of you come home. You have intimacy with yourself. And then this cool shit happens too. When all the little parts within ourselves come home, we come home to God. We come home to the God, to the divine. Not like a thought, like a full body, head to toe, not like a clitoral orgasm, like, oh, like that, but like a full body orgasm, like energy and oneness. And you're like, holy shit. You mean I've been loved all along? I've been held all along. I've been guided all along. There is an energy, a measurable, scientifically measurable presence that's checking in with my vibration a million times a second, helping me, but it gives me free will. So if I don't do the work, it's checking in on miserable, wobbly, hater self. And it's like, and so it is. And you get life experiences that align with that. Yet when you come, quote unquote, all the way home and you don't need to impress God or anybody anymore, and you're finally home, it's almost like, to me, I see like God and the goddess, scotch and cigars, party down, like, oh my God, she's home. You know, like she gets it. And they become like your homies. It's not like, oh my God, you know, God is so much better than me and I'm not good enough. Now, all that shame and bullshit like goes away. And you really see the divine as your partner. It's an intimate partnership of communion with this energy, with the field, with the divine, with God. And you get to co-create. It's not all up to you. So all that weight on your shoulders and all that significance and importance and all that drama that I got to do it myself. No, you get coherent, you get centered. All the little yous, you bring them home. You have oneness with God and the goddess or the universe or whatever words work. And then you choose. And then it's ask and it's given. And so it is. Yet we have to still put one foot in front of the other. We still have to grow and evolve and roll up our sleeves and do the work and be brave and courageous and forgive. And we still need to do our work. But there's this presence that's helping us. It's not all up to us. We do our part, but the universe brings us magic and coincidences. And ever since then, life has become that magical life. Like my son called after 5 months of not hearing from him, me doing all this work, having my full body kind of orgasmy thing with the universe. I'm like, oh my God, I'm enough. He called and he said, you know what, Mom, I didn't know what to do, but I knew it was the right thing to do. It'd been 12 years and Dad was not going to stop taking you to court. We had to let him win. And this is how I'm protecting you. Let me do this. I know what I'm doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was not what it appeared to be.
Not at all. I took it very personally, but no, he knew what he was doing.
And here was this young man.
Yeah.
This adolescent boy being the man of the entire household.
Yeah. Yeah. And you want to know something really real, Rosie? Because I mean, I'm always do my work, right? And so I went out on Friday night and I drank a little too much. I went to this big charity event. And on Saturday, I had all these things to do, but I couldn't do it because the room was still spinning. So I sat on my ass and I go, okay, this is a gift. What's the gift in this? What is Alana too busy to feel? Yes, I do my work, but there's always more work to do. And I really went back to that very moment, Rosie, that I told you that they drove off.
Mm-hmm.
And something had always bugged me and I never figured it out, Rosie. Mm-hmm. He stood outside like a sentinel.
Your son?
With his hand on his heart. Yep. Before they drove off.
Oh.
Now, I don't remember that part as much. I remember crumpled on the floor.
Yeah, because you heard.
The granite floor. You know, I remember the horrible stuff. But in that moment when I did yet another one of these processes that I've been trained in, I saw the truth. It was his way of going, look, I planned all this to look good so that Dad would believe I really hated you. Mom, I got you. I got you. Now that he's 17, Rosie, that was like 4 years ago. He is still living with him. But he gets it. He sees it. He's creating his life. And while I don't see him very much, I see him from time to time, pretty much secretly, so we don't annoy his father and everything, so he's peaceful. He is creating his life. He's in charge. And he calls me for those tough conversations. He doesn't call me as much as I want him to call me.
Right.
But he calls me when he really needs, calls Mom's straight talk. She asks the right question. She never judges.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the normal motherhood. But I choose to let go of guilt, embarrassment, wish I coulda, shoulda, woulda, all that stuff, and just stay present, stay grateful, and truly watch my young Buddha boy grow into a lovely man. So I'm so
grateful. Well, it's a beautiful story because it just shows the dynamics of what happens in these kinds of narcissistic and controlling relationships.
Yeah.
Your son has taken the high road, but you know, still he's a young man. He's not fully developed, but he's matured beyond his years.
Well, yeah.
And what he's done to show, not talk to you, but to show his absolute love for you. I mean, I hear it. I feel it. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. Now, you talked a little bit earlier and I get the whole thing. And I wanted just to ask your path, your journey to, you know, self-love, self-forgiveness, self-kindness, self-compassion.
Yeah.
What were those, that self-journey for you? And, you know, how did you, you know, maybe you could, as you share, maybe some of the strategies that you actually went through that our listeners can kind of take away and say, okay, let me try that. Maybe that might work for me too.
Yeah.
Because this is a nonstop journey, right?
Yeah. It's as of last weekend, I had yet another breakthrough. Yeah, for sure.
Right. It's not just, you know, oh, I did and I'm done. It's like, it just keeps coming and coming. So wherever they are, it's going to help.
Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, from the get-go, I've always had coaches, healers. I've always gone to workshops. I've always been a student and a master of what I do.
Yeah.
So that was nonstop along the way. Surrounding myself with women that didn't judge me, fix me, compete with me, that were really unconditionally loving. And I only need a couple of those 3 a.m. friends that you can call.
Yeah.
Right. So I've got like, you know, a handful. So really good sisters. Movement. I've danced, walked, been in nature. That's been a really big piece as well. Yeah. I'd say those are like the main things, and just a really regular morning practice, where I don't just get up, get straight to the phone and go. I get up, take care of my health, my well-being, my spirituality, my stretching, my affirmations. Like I really have like a pretty much 2-hour practice every morning where I take care of me. before I start the day. So that's been very important. And then also like humility and curiosity of like, what else is possible or what have I not seen? Because I've been pretty happy and pretty successful and doing pretty well. And yet I just turned 50 and I had a birthday party and one of my girlfriends said, I want to give you a reading for your birthday. She's a pretty well-known psychic, Marla Fries. She has a book called American Psychic. We'll plug there for Marla. Yeah. But so we were having the session and my mom has been gone for 18 years. And I said, oh, I just really want to talk to my mom. And so when I got there for my session, well, your mom showed up this morning. She's already been here all day. So I'm like, yay, what'd she say? And she said, you got to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I thought I already did that. You've got to stop feeling guilty. I thought I already did that. You've got to really stop being embarrassed and let yourself move on. Because I've been living, Rosie, kind of like my son lives in LA and I've been living like in Palm Desert or San Diego. I've been living like kind of hovering around, not really letting myself move on ever since that day when he was 13 and he left to live at his dad. And my mom showed the psychic a bar graph and she showed like this middle line in the middle, like, you know, enthusiasm, presence, grace or whatever. But she said, something would happen and I would get triggered and I would go all the way down. Mm-hmm. And then I would over rebound and I would be of service and I would shoot another video and do another podcast and close another client and make another difference. I wouldn't process. And I've had, and this is really recent, I had been experiencing tremendous pain in my neck, like pain in the neck, right? The situation's a pain in the neck, okay? For years, so much so that I'd even stopped dance class, Rosie. I used to be 7 years of a pole dancer and I haven't pole danced for 3 years because the pain was just too great. It made my arm weak. And so she said, process the pain in the neck. And I'm like, oh. And that's the weekend I told you where I drank a little too much. And the next day I just sat on the couch and I processed all of that guilt that I still felt bad. The embarrassment. You know, if I just move on, what'll people think about me as a mother?
Yes.
And, yeah. And the sadness. It's okay to be sad that you don't see your baby. It's okay.
Yeah. I just had that aha yesterday.
Oh, look at us. Yesterday.
Oh, it's okay to be sad. I mean, it's crazy what we do and the judgment that we put on ourselves. You know, when I was in that relationship, you know, I was always being judged and always being put down.
Yeah.
And then as I've been healing and hearing you too, and I just want the listeners to hear this, is that you put so much judgment on yourself that you become your own prisoner.
Yeah.
It's only until you do the self-forgiveness, the self-compassion, and all, you know, self-love, all of those steps, can you really start to move forward. And it still comes, but we still process it and not to step back. And you have such a wonderful practice. And I hope they hear that. I have practices too that I do in the morning. I just think it's so important because you're doing that self-care.
Yeah.
The true caring of who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I found that many women have a hard time asking for what they want, and they have an even harder time knowing what to ask for. That's why I created a guidebook, How to Confidently Ask for What You Want, and it's yours free. Simply go to www.theloveiskindnetwork.com/gift. Start your collection of gifts, as I will be offering different ones throughout this podcast. Get your copy now. It's been a major life changer for many of my clients who've learned to ask for what's important to them, including asking for the sale. And we're back with Elena Pratt, Global Media Personality and Intimacy Expert. Oh, this has just been fabulous. I can just talk to you forever.
Oh, thank you, Rosie.
But before we leave, is there something that you can, that your listeners can grab from you that they...
And grab my ass. Slap it too when you go by. No.
I've been doing my squats, you know, so I got a nice one now.
Good for you, girl. That's awesome. That's awesome. No, I have, I just every about 5 years or so, I redo my website. So my alanapratt.com is redone. And right at the front is an intimacy blind spot assessment. This is what I find is the, you know, stopping the what sabotages people all the time is that everybody's smart. Everybody reads the books and knows what they know. But for some reason, there's a pattern and it continues where you try to do the right thing, but you mess it up. Or you don't want to care whether they texted you back or not, but you're losing your shit. Like you just can't stay centered. Like there's something going on and I call it a blind spot. And every level of evolution has one. It's not like you ever get rid of the blind spots, but they're actually a portal for growth. It's sort of like the truth first will piss you off, but then it'll set you free. It's like that. So this assessment is going to show you where is your intimacy blind spot. And it will show you maybe how far you've come and how far you have to go. It'll give you a really great indicator to set you free, what's stopping you so that you can have intimacy with self, and have intimacy with the divine. You can have intimacy with another, be that your beloved, but also that other could be your child, could be your friends, even be your business. It could be intimacy with money. There are everything is a relationship. So if you don't have intimacy with money, you're like, where have you been lately? You say to the money doesn't want to come play with you. You're mean, right? So you can use this assessment for so many different areas of your life. So I would love people to go there, check it out. And of course, I've got my podcast and my YouTube channel and there's books and there's all sorts of other wonderful things as well. But that I think is like the freshest and most awesome.
Well, that's beautiful. Yes, your website is beautiful. So it's at Alana Pratt, that's 2Ls and 2Ts.com.
Thank you. Yeah.
So a final question is, what does love is kind mean to you?
Yeah. So when I go inside to little Alana, the one that was feeling just recently guilty about what's all went down with her son, or I go inside and the one who lost the custody battle and her son turned against her, or just the one who's getting older, finding hair in strange areas of her body, whatever. So So whatever little Alana there is, love is kind means you go inside and you go, hey, sweet thing, come here. Tell me more. I'm listening. And you never, ever change them. And you're willing to never change them for eternity. And you allow something in you to emerge, to love them unconditionally forever. To me, that is our job. Be that for all aspects of ourself. And then we can give that gift to others. Otherwise, it's we still have an agenda. We might say, oh, I can love others, but I can't love myself. Bullshit.
Yeah, right. Bullshit. No way. Okay?
No, it's always an inside job. So be willing to love yourself that much. You can, as you beautifully said, give from the overflow and really have a life that flows. You're always going to be challenged. Life is always equal support and challenge. That's science. But you can address challenge with, oh, how is this for me, grasshopper? What is this lesson for me here? And you can really savor the times that are supportive and beautiful. And like we said, and you really can receive all the way to the core and feel home. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful definition of love is kind.
Thank you for asking.
Well, thank you for spending your precious time with us. I look forward to staying connected with you and have a wonderful, wonderful time.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for doing this podcast and sharing your wisdom and love with the world. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook, Ask Confidently for What You Want. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.